Unless you have kids, you can't describe it. It don't make sense.
She just turned off the lights and told everybody to get in the corner where nobody could see us.
Sadly, some kids once again terrorized by somebody with a gun going into a school with a familiar video that we all see of teachers and kids running, evacuating a building. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, hope in your world things are well. And here we are again at the crossroads of what's going on in this great country. And sadly, another school shooting. But the upside of this, the upside of this story is the fact that there was a school clerk who was there a few feet away from the gunman, talked and talked and talked to him and kept talking to him until she talked him down. So the worst, the tragedy, what could have happened, did not happen. Nobody was injured. Nobody died. And he did not walk up and down the halls or in classrooms with bullets bouncing off lockers and the horrific things that you hear about, like in Newtown, Connecticut, what happened back in December of last year. And parents panicked, parents ran to the school, drove to the school, and they were reunited with their kids. That's the good news on this story because, as I said, it is that familiar scene since Columbine that when you hear school shooting and when you tune in, you're hoping for the best and you're seeing so often the worst. And in this case, luckily, that was not what happened here. Here's the chief. And again, this was in Georgia. This is Chief Seth Alexander.
We suspect that he came in behind someone who was authorized to be there, and he just walked in behind him. He's about 19 years of age. Don't know if he had any relatives there or friends. We just don't know at this point. He didn't get any further than the front office. He was there. He seemed to have barricaded himself in the office with a couple of office employees.
Yeah, and you heard him say he kind of barricaded himself in there. So that goes to the question again of should somebody in the school be armed? If you're not going to have an armed guard, what about somebody armed in the office? Somebody comfortable with a weapon. So no one injured after the gunman went in with an assault-style weapon. And this in a Georgia school not too far from Atlanta, an elementary school, is what we're talking about. A suspect in custody. You heard the chief there. And parents waiting for the kids and hearing only good positive news this time around, thank goodness, instead of getting on the air and telling you something else horrific has happened. But it still brings up the question that has not collectively really been answered. Would it be better to insist that a few people be armed in a school? What about teachers who are, as I said, comfortable with guns? Somebody comfortable to be armed in the school. I know for others they say, wow, that would just be a nightmare. So the 20-year-old was Michael Brandon. He faces criminal charges after holding employees, as you heard there, kind of captive at that elementary school before he did actually exchange some fire with police, but surrendered. But ultimately surrendered, and this is now what they're talking about there in Georgia, the concern, the hysteria, and all that sort of stuff. Coming up on This Hour of America Tonight, in fact, coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk to Jane Velez Mitchell. You might recognize her name. She is on Headline News. She's all over Headline News. And she's got a book out about Jodi Arias. And you remember Jodi Arias and the crazy trial, the case surrounding the murder of her ex-boyfriend, Travis Alexander, in 2008, where his head was practically cut off, where in the initial stages of the trial, the 32-year-old California native argued self-defense because she said he was physically and emotionally abusive and sexually exploited her. The jury sided with the prosecutors who claimed that Arias and her jealousy drove her to deviously plot things out, and that's really what happened here. And it was a revenge murder after seeing other women following their breakup. So the upshot is, if you remember, she was convicted of first-degree murder, but ultimately the original jury took just 3 hours to deliberate to decide that she had killed him in an especially cruel, heinous, and depraved manner that would warrant the death penalty. They found that he had been stabbed 27 times in the back, the torso, the heart. Still, however, what happened in the end is the fact that now a new hearing has to take place on August 26th, and it's because that same jury failed to reach a unanimous decision on her sentence. So she faces another trial to determine whether she'll be sentenced with capital punishment or life in prison. So Jane Velez Mitchell's book is called Exposed, and she presents another side, things that people didn't know about her, her history of stalking, obsession with murdering Alexander, and a few other things that happened along the way. And we're talking to her next. That book just dropped today, and she tells you it's just unbelievable when we sit back and we think of Jodi Arias and why so many people were fascinated with this trial, because it was shocking, partially because this was a young woman who was good looking and had supposedly all these ambitions, and so none of it really made sense to anybody. But when does it make sense? Thinking of how many times he was stabbed, though, and the condition they found him in, scary, scary stuff. So that's next on the show. Then plus we're going to check the mailbag. Lots of mail about Egypt. Big switch in Egypt aid after the story breaks that we're freezing our aid, our military aid to Egypt. The White House says, not so fast. We're not doing that. We didn't say that. They're not confirming anything. They're not saying what they're deciding. They're just saying that they're not confirming that they're freezing aid to Egypt. So there is a state of chaos somewhat over this question of, do we stroke a big check again and give money to this country that doesn't have a true leader and just went through a coup, even if they refuse to call it that. That's what it was. So ultimately, we're in limbo with that, for whether we're going to write the check out, send the money, or not. We stopped the military exercises. That's not happening. We're not sending the helicopters that we got from the Russians, so we're not doing that. But as far as the money, it's up in the air. So the story's not true is what the White House is saying. Not true. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to take some time on this one. You know, they're trying to come up with words and rhetoric and anything they can do to dance around it, but specifically answer the question. Anything to avoid the true question. So we may not get an answer on this for a while. And remember, we're still mid-vacation for the people on the Hill. So stay with us. Coming up next, as I said, we're going to talk about Jodi Arias with the new book from Jane Velez Mitchell. We'll chat with her coming up in a few minutes.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest-growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We got a great guest coming up. She's in our virtual green room right now. Jody Arias, right? How many people called up, sent me hundreds of emails about the case of Jody Arias? Well, Jane Velez Mitchell, you know her from Headline News, has written a book called Exposed, The Secret Life of Jody Arias. Jane, thanks for spending some time with us here on ATN.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate.
So, you know, all the things that you've covered, and there's so many different shocking, crazy things that happen year after year. If we sat down and went back the last decade, you and I could come up with 10, 15, who knows, 20 things. But Jody Arias, for you on Headline News, too, getting lots of great ratings, a lot of people focused on this. Was it just because there were so many bizarre facts and twists and whatever that people were fascinated by this case and by her tale? Do you think that's what it was?
Well, it's many things. First of all, she's beautiful. She's well-spoken. She's petite. How does a beautiful, petite, well-spoken young lady commit such a vicious crime of slitting somebody's throat ear to ear? Feel your neck and feel the cartilage in your neck. That's not something that's easy to do. That's like sawing somebody, decapitating them. So In my book, Exposed, I really want to expose what's at the heart of her dysfunction that caused her to do something so horrific. And I found a lot of reasons. As the shrinks say, it's multi-determined. But the fact is she does have borderline personality disorder, and there were things in her childhood, I believe, that triggered that mental illness to come to the surface. But the other thing is that she has a character defect known as lazy thinking or magical thinking. And essentially, she wanted a lot of things in her life. She's highly intelligent. She scores high on the IQ test. But she didn't particularly want to work for them. She wanted to manifest them through the power of thought. And so this is something that I think really did her in, and it's a cautionary tale. I mean, she wanted a career as a wedding photographer, took no concrete action toward that, just ran around with a camera and took pictures all the time. She wanted a house. She bought a house she couldn't afford. Then it went into foreclosure. She was paying her mortgage payments with her credit card. I mean, this is sort of really scattered thinking. Part of it's bipolar, and part of it's just not wanting to do the work.
Yeah, yeah. As you said, cautionary tale, the magical thinking. I love that, describing it that way. And you have insider accounts from people who knew Jody. And is that the kind of stuff that they were telling you, that she had all these dreams and ideals, but she didn't really do any of the work?
Well, listen, I covered the trial, and the reason I wrote this book is I wanted to set the record straight, because Jody Arias took the witness stand and lied for 18 days straight. And what was happening is I was talking to friends of Travis Alexander, the victim, the Mormon motivational speaker, and they were telling me a totally different story. So basically, I got new information. A couple of the things that are real bombshells. One, she had stalked another boyfriend many years before, and the jury never heard about this. And nobody's really talked about this until this book, because it wasn't out there. This did not come up in trial. This old boyfriend, Bobby, did come up, and she kind of described it as he tried to choke her once. But the truth is that she did the exact same thing that she did to Travis Alexander. It's the exact same stalking pattern. She was very possessive. She became extremely jealous. She did espionage on his personal communications. She decided that he was cheating on her. There was an ugly confrontation. They break up. He moves away to get away from her. And then she crosses state lines and sets up house right near him, and then proceeds to date somebody in his inner circle. That's exactly what she did with Travis. I mean, she did the espionage. They had the confrontation. She accused him of cheating. They broke up. She moved across state lines from California to Arizona, set up housekeeping right near his house, and proceeded to date other people who worked at his company, a prepaid legal.
Wow, so this is a repeated pattern that nobody knew about.
Exactly, and there was something else that I found out that's a real stunner in the book exposed. She had described her previous relationship before she met Travis as being normal. She got on the witness stand, and that ex-boyfriend also testified and said it was normal. Well, I spoke to somebody very close to that relationship, not the ex-boyfriend, who said she was creepy and freaky, that she tried to assume the persona of that boyfriend's ex-wife, dyed her hair the same color, got breast implants to match her breast implants, bought the same kind of car and drove it around, worked at the very same restaurant, stood behind the same counter. They were all, like, totally freaked out by this.
Ooh. Did you know, when you were sitting and going through all this stuff and listening to all this, were you just knew, I got to get this out here. I'm writing a book. I'm just going to do it. I'm busy. I'm writing this book because I got to give everybody the inside scoop on things we did not hear about. Was that the impetus for you doing this?
Well, look, it was one of the most challenging projects I've ever had in my career, because you are dealing with the penultimate liar. And what she does, like accomplished fabulists do, is that she takes a real event, right? And then she just puts a whole bunch of lies into it, and then she puts it in the blender and presses, you know, blend. And what comes out, it's very hard to figure out where does the truth end and where do lies begin. So I had to deconstruct everything she said on the stand about every trip she took with Travis where she claimed that he forced her into anal or oral sex and all of these things. Now, here's the funny part. With Jody Arias, whatever she says, assume the exact opposite. And whatever she accuses somebody of doing, assume that she did it. So she was painting him as degrading her sexually. But she was the one, I found out, who initiated the sex games. She was the person who was experienced sexually. He was a Mormon who had only had sex once, maybe with two different women his whole life in his late 20s. He didn't know about these sex games. On the sex tape, he even admits that he never even knew about sexual lubricant, KY jelly, until she introduced him to it. So who's zooming whom?
I love that expression, who's zooming who. And Travis Alexander, when you talk to the people close to him, I mean, it had to be tough for them. Were they just astounded by what they saw, especially as waiting and on pins and needles, verdict-wise and everything else? Were they just astounded by what was going on in the courtroom?
Well, they were horrified because they felt that this friend of theirs, a nice guy, was She tried to paint him as a pedophile, a deviant, and all these terrible things. And in fact, I found out he's a pretty nice guy. You know, he was an environmentalist. He gave his, I believe it was a Mercedes. It was a luxury vehicle. It was Mercedes or BMW, but I think it was a Mercedes. But anyway, he gave the car to Jody for $100 a month, this luxury car, and got a Prius instead. And she was driving back to Yreka finally after she finally called it quits on living in his hometown. And she destroyed the car. Within about 20 miles, she was driving it in gear. In other words, she hooked it up to the U-Haul, and she just destroyed it. I mean, honestly, and he didn't get angry. So the idea that he would lunge at her murderous, you know, try to say, I'm going to bleep and kill you when she drops his new camera doesn't really add up, since he wasn't that angry when she destroyed his luxury vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's like all the details you're saying now, I can't wait to read this whole book. I've already gotten started on it, but I can't wait to read the whole thing, and I guarantee people will be riveted. They're going to call in sick. They're not going to be able to put it down. They're going to be reading into the late hours of everything, because you've given us some meaty things, some incredible things that you've talked about here. But for you, what was the biggest, most horrifying thing that you uncovered from the research and the people that you talked to that you really weren't completely aware of?
Well, I wasn't aware of all the horrible things she did after she murdered Travis Alexander. Of course, we all know she lied about it. First, she said she wasn't there. Then when they produced these timestamp photos of her naked, she admitted she was there. But she said, oh, you know, two masked ninjas came in and killed him. And that was a ridiculous story. But the real creepy part is what she did at the memorial service. The criminal always returns to the scene of the crime. Jody went to Travis's house on the day of his memorial and just walked around the front yard. Okay. Well, I mean, then she brought a whole bunch of binders to the memorial service for Travis, filled with pictures of her and Travis, and had people sign them. I mean, she was going up and hugging people, like commiserating, and they're already pointing a finger at her, so they're all horrified. They're like, oh, my God, the murderer's here. Because everybody immediately from the 911 call said Jody did it. She was the crazy stalker. So the fact that she had this ability to be so brazen, can you imagine? I mean, the nerve to show up at the memorial service, not just show up, but then have binders of photographs for people to sign?
Yeah, crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Jane, I wish you the best with this book. I hope everybody reads it. As you say, cautionary tale. Maybe people will be a little more careful with the people that they choose. I don't know how you do that, how you screen them, but maybe you look for other things, because there's certainly other people that have...
If people lie about small things, they're going to lie about big things. That, to me, is the big takeaway. Liars are dangerous people.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. Jane Velez Mitchell, thank you so much. Pick up the book, Expose the Secret Life of Jody Arias. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Walk slowly down the street, people wait all over. Ain't no sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip.
So on this show, I always say you can throw in your 2 cents by giving us a call at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or shooting us an email at americatonight.net. And it is that time of the show where we go and check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thanks. This is from Todd in Illinois, who says, wildfires, wildfires. Kate, do you realize how much manpower it takes to put out these fires? It's an incredible, incredible dredge on the resources locally when a fire happens, but also beyond the borders of states even. So many firemen have to come in, especially in the West, to help with these forest fires. It's an amazing sacrifice the families make, but it's also a very, very big amount of money that is spent. And no kidding, the timing of that email is interesting, too, because I mentioned this earlier. $1 billion is what they're saying now at this point for all the wildfires, about 40 of them in the on the West Coast, somewhere in the West, whether it's the Idaho fire or it's in Washington or Portland, California, wherever it might be, because it's lightning strikes, somebody not stamping out a cigarette, somebody not putting a fire completely out at a campsite, you get those tinderbox conditions, not a lot of rain, not a lot of moisture, and then there you go. But 1 billion is crazy, and the fires are still going. So who knows when it's all said and done how much it's going to cost. It's really the loss of life, and I've said this a zillion times. It's people also scare. It's a scary thing when people stay behind thinking they can fight the fire. You know, this is their dream house, this is their second house, whatever it is, and they're going to save it. They're going to stay. They're going to wait. They're going to wait it out. And that's what the firemen hate. They want, when they say evacuate, they want everyone evacuated. They don't want people that want to hang around and then try to get out at the last second, and that scares them. They don't like that because that's the whole idea. When, if you talk to enough firemen, we certainly have had them on the show, chiefs and whatnot, the idea is keep the guys together, the crew intact, get the fire out, and you're not looking for trouble spots. You're not looking for people to stay back and not know if they're there or not, because what does that lead to? A fireman trying to rescue someone in the worst conditions, and then it becomes an even bigger disaster. All right, here's one from Barry, listening to us in Florida. Kate, been listening for a couple of months since you popped up on WFLN. Love it, love it, love it. I hear you mentioning sharks a bunch on the show. And, you know, in Florida, there is such a thing as what we call it sharking when you're surfing. You know, as you go out there in areas like New Smyrna Beach, there is always that possibility. You just don't think about it. It might be a protective thing, or it just might be we're used to it. We're used to that conversation. And overall, the people who are killed, not very high. But see, here's the thing. People not killed very high, but what about the people who lose limbs? What about this woman in Miami? They've had, or not Miami, Maui. They've had 7 shark attacks, and in Maui they've had 4. Somebody just snorkeling, enjoying their vacation, losing an arm, and all of a sudden on life support. That's scary. You know, and you talk to enough experts in the field, and they always say this one little thing at the tail end of whatever you're talking about. Well, it is their habitat, and we are guests in their habitat. And that kind of freaks me out because they're right. You're in the water. It is their playground. It is where they live, and you're impinging on where they live. So are people more hyped up about it? Are people getting out of the water, not going into the water as much? I don't know. I wonder if that affects, if it affects people in California, because there's worries there, in California, Florida, and Hawaii. And, of course, there have been attacks in North Carolina and other places, too. But just the climate and in California, Northern California, Southern California, San Diego, off of San Diego, and this is surfers. There was a guy, if you remember, a few years ago, well, I'm going to say it was probably 5 years ago, who was part of a swim club where they swam in San Diego out in the ocean. And there were like 10 of them, I think. And the last guy in the line got killed by a shark because the shark, it was early in the morning, and the shark, they said, that's like a seal to them. They think it's a seal, the flapping arms and the water popping up. And this poor man who was, I want to say, in his 50s, he was part of that swim team, that swim club, and he just happened to be on the end of the line. It could have been really anyone else that got hit, but it was his area, in other words, of where the swim was. Let's go to another one. Let's take another one. This one from Paul, and Paul says, I don't know if you saw this or not. I know you talk about it certainly a lot, and you have in the past, but did you see the story about what's now happening with the Fox News reporter in that Colorado shooting case? Remember, there was some controversy over that, and they're saying that Jana Winter lost another round in the battle to protect the source. It was an exclusive story about the shooter, James Holmes. So a New York appellate court has voted to uphold an order for her to appear before a Colorado judge. Yeah, the confidential sources thing. It's funny, I just read that before we went on the air, that the they're saying that Colorado needs the approval of New York judges to enforce a subpoena, and that's what they did. And she reported that Holmes sent the psychiatrist, remember this story, a notebook that had violent images. and this was FoxNews.com. After they reported the story, media all over the place picked it up. But the Colorado judge who recused himself from the case ruled that whoever spoke to Winter had violated the gag order and that Winter could be compelled to divulge his or her name. And she said she wouldn't reveal the name of the sources because that's a big part of the story. The fact that the psychiatrist was mailed a notebook with all these violent images in it and knew something was not right with James Holmes, said something to somebody, but all that was too late. He had already, his chaos had happened, but she got the notebook before that happened. It was sent to the school. It wasn't open. It was in a package that wasn't open, but it was at the school before this happened, a few days before it happened. So that story was a big story because people were talking about it, frankly. Hey, people saw the warning signs and they didn't do anything. Are you kidding? And could something have happened to prevent this? And it doesn't mean it would have been prevented because, again, the problem that you have is the timing. They weren't at school. This was July. And a package comes in. So how would she possibly have gotten that package in time? The answer is she wouldn't have. Therefore, if she wouldn't have, then how's the school responsible for that? I don't know. But she knew something wasn't right, and she did say something, but got poo-pooed. Okay, there's lots of people that have crazy thoughts or do violent things, and they just blew her off. Here's one from Tony, who says, yo, listening to you up in your old stomping grounds. I know you have had some people on about this, but what a blow this will be as the Obamacare deadlines start to unfold. How many people do you think are going to have IRS agents chasing them for a couple $1,000s because they don't sign up for health care? I don't know. I mean, what's the bigger angle to me is what's going to happen with the businesses. The small businesses and people getting insurance for the businesses and then the confusion over that and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So what is interesting about Obamacare is, and I just was reading this too this morning, the White House didn't meet 9 of 12 deadlines from the first year after Obamacare when it was enacted. It failed to meet 22 of 53 deadlines in the second year. In the third year, 10 out of 17. So that's a total of deadlines they were supposed to have, 41 of 82. Phew! 41 of 82. That's not a good winning percentage. And most of the 41 missed deadlines were actually pertaining to things that aren't critical to the law being implemented, but one of them pertained to a requirement on Health and Human Services to submit a report to Congress on the appropriate level of the diabetes medical education. So that's kind of fascinating to me. How many deadlines did I say they missed? 41 deadlines. Because they couldn't get the information, because they were heel dragging, you know, what was that about? All right, here's one from Janice in Jersey who says, Kate, when does Nail the Score start up again? It starts up when we get back to the NFL the very first week. We'll do it the week before. Our computer will randomly pick the game of the week. Then you call in and say who you think is going to win the game. And if you nail the score, then you're a winner. It's just that easy. You don't even have to know anything about football. You can just throw out a scoring guess. Only one per caller, but we do have a lot of fun with that. And this year is an interesting year. I know I always say that in the NFL, but it's very interesting because there's a couple of divisions where I don't think you have a clear-cut winner in mind, maybe who you want, but it's not a clear path like the NFC East. In the NFC East, I would say, really, there you could make an argument for a couple of different teams to emerge from the East and have a crack at winning the whole thing. You know, holding up the ultimate prize, the Lombardi Trophy, and celebrating in the end. It's everybody says that heading into the season, but it's really true with the NFC East. All right, remember, you can always email us. I'll say it 100 times. So true. AmericaTonight.net. Don't go to .com. .net. Hit contact and bada bing, you are in. Stay with us. Some headlines coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Introducing the only portable solar generator in the world that uses advanced sun tracking technology. The SunSocket Solar Generator from Aspect Solar, featuring 60-watt rotating solar panels, a built-in 250-watt-hour lightweight lithium iron battery that charges in only 5 hours, multiple output sockets, and more. See it in action at AspectSolar.com or call 877-717-7778. Call 877-717-7778.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
That aid and assistance is ongoing, and no determination or conclusion of that review has been reached at this point. Whether tranches of aid have gone out since the announcement of this review, the Department of Defense announced earlier today that the answer to that question is yes. I don't know the nature of that assistance. You should ask them about that.
Yeah, who's messing with who when it comes to Egypt? The idea that the cutoff was supposed to happen fueled a lot of this confusion over the Obama policy, and we didn't get much clearing there either from the White House. Josh Ernst is the voice you just heard talking about the Department of Defense and that the aid's ongoing. I think there were some people that got hot under the collar thinking, wow, they've cut off their aid. Are they watching? Are they seeing what's happening? How could the United States do that to us? How can they do it? Well, it's simple. We don't want to foot your bill anymore, and especially with the kind of craziness that's happening there. Give us a break. And who knows when all of that settles down, and if it does. I hope it does. But there is confusion. And that all bubbled up, really, on Tuesday, when initially it was, we're going to suspend the aid to the military-backed programs on a temporary basis. Then, publicly, they try to say, oh, no decision was made. So the person who looks the worst is Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont, because now he's backing up the claim, but his subcommittee was told that the transfer of military aid was stopped, that it's current practice, not necessarily official policy, and there is no vindication or indication. There is no vindication in this, but there is no indication of how long it will last. But the White House is saying, no, 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 we didn't make any decision on postponing or cutting or any of that stuff with aid. So I think it was reaction to it. Maybe that was on purpose. Let's do a real live litmus test. We'll kind of leak the information to a few people that this is what we're doing, and then we'll just go cold turkey on them after we see what their reaction is. And the big thing was the qualifier. Was it a coup or not? Because if it was qualified as a coup, the Mohamed Morsi changing of the guard, because if that was the case, under our law, the administration would have to cut off aid. So that's the problem in the semantics of the words. That's why it's so big. And it's the decision hangs in the balance. That's what it is. Senator John McCain says the administration should clearly label the ouster a coup and suspend the aid. And I agree. I think we should just suspend the aid. How much you keep giving to international funds before we look inward and think, who can we help? I mean, we have broken the back. So it's time, I think it's time to fix it. So the focus should be there and not on Egypt and the Muslim Brotherhood and what's going to happen and who comes in and all of that stuff. All of that stuff. Since America Tonight often represents a crossroads of a lot of different places, the Midwest, the South, the Southeast, the West Coast, the East Coast, I saw a thing the other day, because, you know, more cities are claiming bankruptcy. And certainly, you know, the big ones, we see what's happening in Detroit. And I also noticed there was a program to revitalize Gary, Indiana. You know, that's on Gary, Indiana. So they're hurting. They've lost more than half their population. They don't have that base anymore for taxes. And they have 10,000 vacant homes. If you are looking for a roof over your head and you like Gary, Indiana, go there. And you think you can make some kind of a living. They say that they're going to sell homes to people for $1 if you're a resident there. $1, because they have so many, they figure I might as well unload. Because if they can unload it, then at least someone's living there. Maybe it looks halfway decent. But the population went from 180,000 in the 50s and has dropped significantly since then. They say households in the city, 31,000. Because people, the population has declined. People have left. It's an older city. It's not getting spruced up. And they're looking, there are other cities close by that they could try and make it, try to make a living there, and have maybe a better chance. Now, what's interesting is to qualify for the $1 house, you have to have a minimum income of $35,000 for one person. And they will have to stay in the house for 5 years to get the full title, and they have to have been residents of Gary for 6 months, own a house, and have at least $1,000 in a savings account. Whew! It's a lot of rules, isn't it? So people who are really struggling, this instead of tearing down these wrecks, that'd be great to be able to, if you were in an apartment, why not? Smart of them to do that instead of completely losing the neighborhoods. Why do that? Why not figure out a way to make it work? And the idea that you could just have people help you and work on the house and pay a buck and oof. And if I lived in that neighborhood, I wouldn't want all those teardowns. So I would feel better, too. It's just better all the way around. I mean, all the way around. We didn't talk about this yet here on the show, but this was a stunner. I mean, absolutely shocking. You know, they say never get in a car. If somebody tries to accost you, just avoid the car and moving, getting in the car and going to some other location. Well, an Iowa man shot and killed an escaped inmate after the convict held him and his wife hostage in their house. Jerome Mauderly and his wife Carolyn were asleep when the escaped inmate, a guy named Rodney Long, broke into their rural Bedford home a little after 10 o'clock on Monday. He had shot a deputy pursuing him on Sunday, woke up and disabled a landline phone, except for a line that was in the couple's bedroom. He then took a shotgun and he loaded it that night, placed it next to the bed before going to sleep. The rest is history. And just tried to avoid raising any kind of attention, any kind of a flag, or any kind of a red flag. So how about that? On Sunday, he was spotted walking along a highway. A deputy arrived, confronted him. Long allegedly shot him twice, took his patrol car. A second deputy pursued him for 40 minutes. The pursuit ended when Long crashed the patrol car and ran away. That is trouble. So this guy had a handgun, but was listed as non-confrontational. And this is the Iowa guy that shot and killed an escaped inmate after the convict tried to befriend them, schmooze them, and ask them about food and what was in the house and all that other stuff. Wow, that is scary, huh? I guess there is kind of a lesson from the people who have done it so well that you learn. You just have to hold it together. You have to, and you have to play it out. You can't get in their face too much. You just have to play it out and stay as strong as you can throughout that process. Because obviously if you listen to the transcript, you look at the transcript, you know that, I mean, you know that certainly there are people that are, without a doubt, there are people that are hanging in. There are people that get that and know how to do that. Boy, that would be tough. Oh, that would be tough, 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 tough. Man, oh, man. It'd be, for me, almost impossible. I mean, almost impossible. All right, a couple of little nuggets that I want to leave you with here on this era of America Tonight. And that includes this Mayor Filner, just to give you an update. I spoke to someone today in California. He's in mediation with San Diego in the middle of this recall effort, the push to not, you know, the Tea Party wanting someone better, somebody else in there, and it's looking pretty good on their part. Of course, we're a ways off from that, so ongoing talks to determine if he's going to stay or he's going to go. I think he has to go because he has a problem, and the only way to deal with it is to deal with it head on. Just deal with it head on, and then all the other weirdness and the things that have happened, they don't even have to deal with. Makes sense. Makes sense to me, anyway. That whole thing about permission, forgiveness, and blah, 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 blah. There it is in a nutshell for you. There it is. Hey, coming up in our next hour on America Tonight, peel back the onion with my favorite Brit, one of them, anyway. Big shout-out to Turquoise Radio and all the people over there. Drinking their tea, eating their scones, listening to America Tonight. So Andrew Szabo joins us for Peel Back the Onion in our next hour. Plus, we can count, and you can make it count, too. You want to hook up with us on Facebook or Twitter, just go to the website americatonight.net. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own healthcare decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.